I was looking through some information last night. I came across this piece of paper in my book bag, and I'm sure I've used part of this before, but it's the title of the story is The Sermons America Most Wants to Hear. And it's real interesting to see what people want to find out about. And believe it or not, most of the people are probably pretty sincere. The only thing is, many people, they want to have all the information and be able to benefit from the promises and the kindness of God, but so many people don't want to do a whole lot about it. I want to read a little bit out of Mark. I know in this story, or this article, one of the things was the subject that they chose mostly was how to make prayer more effectively, how to increase religious faith, and how I can make the greatest contribution in life. And of course, if we make the greatest contribution in life, it's just living a good honest life and hard work. But I want to read a little bit out of Mark, and this is a story that's been read to us from different parts of the Scripture, telling basically the same story. And it's a time when a man brought his sons to the disciples to be healed, and they could not heal him. And he had a was possessed of an evil spirit. If we read in the new translation of the Bible, it calls it a spirit of epilepsy. And we know that epilepsy somewhat can be controlled by medication. I don't think that an evil spirit can. And I want to read a little bit here in the 9th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And how many times have we had this told to us that our faith is very, very important? And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. And how many of us have ever felt this same thing? We do believe, we really believe, but it seems like our faith is not quite strong enough yet. And ask the Lord to help our unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And what a wonderful thing this would be for this young man. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now I wonder, the people want to have a more, to be more effective in their prayer. I wonder how many of them would put forth the effort to fast and to pray. Now it says that in this case, that's what, it wasn't some tourist or something writing this, but these are the words of the Lord. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So I would say that there is time. We have got to put forth some time aside and fast and pray and seek the Lord. I'm going to read a verse out of the fifth chapter of James, and I think that most people know what the, I'm the only one need one verse here, but it's a very, to me, it's a very important verse. And this is in the fifth chapter, 16th verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now that indicates there that we must need to work pretty close together, doesn't it? Pray one for another. Confess your faults one to another. Now you know it's not too hard to pray for one another. If I know someone needs something, if they're sick, it's pretty easy to pray for them. But sometimes we hate to admit that we have any faults to begin with. And if we have, we sure don't want anybody else to know about it. And usually, moreover, we don't want to do anything about them ourselves very often. We just kind of want to sit around with the same old faults and continue on. And the last part of this verse, and I think that this is so important, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not only have we got to do a lot of these things, we've got to be fairly righteous to expect anything to happen. And I think that the most of the people in this room are pretty righteous, and they strive daily to improve. But that is something that we've got to do. We've got to work very closely one with another. We've got to be willing, if the time of the case arises, to fast and to pray. And fasting, we have heard many sermons on it. Some have one method and some have another. But I am sure that we have got to deprive ourselves of some of the luxuries we want when we that we like to have around us when we fast. It's pretty hard to be real sincere and seek the Lord when your stomach is full and you're very warm and everything is going real good. But I think if we forego some of the foods we want, and maybe all of them, and a few of these things, then I think we can come a bit closer to the Lord. And a faith is something that doesn't come overnight. And belief, now I believe that belief is a whole lot different than faith. We have got to believe and we've got to have faith both. But there is a lot of people that believe these things, but their faith might not be too strong. So our faith is a thing we've got to work at. And a person might say, how do we work at it? And I'm not going to lay down a whole lot of rules and regulations to increase your faith. But I would say that when we desire more faith, that one place we can go for help, and that's the Lord. Again, we're going to be praying for it. And it's so important to have a real reason for praying. I always think of the story that, and we've all heard it, where the lady prayed that the mountain would be removed, and when she got up in the morning it wasn't, and she said, just as I thought. But she didn't have a real reason for the mountain to be removed. If just because we didn't like the mountain on that side of our house or something, I don't think the Lord's going to waste much of his time and try to move the mountain for us. But I do believe that if he had a group of righteous people standing around or living someplace and they needed to have a mountain put between them and the enemy, I don't have a bit of question whether the Lord could put the mountain there. Or a river or whatever was needed. But I don't think that we're going to have a lot of things done for us that aren't too important. Now I want to read a little out of Joshua, the 10th chapter. And this is one of those times when the Lord went out and fought for the people of Israel. I don't really know how many times there is in the scripture. I kind of lean to these stories quite a little bit because it proves what has been done. And it shows to me that if I have got the faith and the need, that I, or we, as the case might be, should have the same things done for us. I'm going to read in the 10th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. And really, if you want to, it'd be best sometime, if you have a few moments, drop back to the first verse. I'll read several verses in here. It is a story to me that is better than any story that we're going to read out of the Reader's Digest or the Saturday Evening Post or Woman's Home Journal or something. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Now he was facing a great multitude of his enemy out before him, and they were near in the nearby lands round about them. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now notice what it said here in that 8th verse there. It says, And the Lord said. So apparently he was talking to Joshua. Now, if you were preparing to go into battle, could you think of anything more comforting than words like these here from the Lord? Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up into Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth from Beth Horon. And smote them at Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now, we know of ourselves that we couldn't go up against battle against anyone. We don't have the provisions or any such thing, but I am sure that if we remain to be a humble people, if we seek the Lord in a time of great need, he could accomplish something similar to this. What he might do, I have no idea. We know how he done away with a whole lot of the Egyptians when they tried to follow the Israelites as they went out of Egypt. He allowed them to wander down into the, or follow them down into the ocean or into the sea, and then allow the sea to close back over them and drown them. Whatever way he might choose, he can surely take care of us. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. Now this is pretty good. They're talking back and forth, aren't they? Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorite before the children of Israel. And he said, In the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and the moon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Now, how many of us would have faith enough to do this? To ask the sun to stand still? Now, again, I doubt if we wanted to fish for another 4 hours or go deer hunting another 4 hours, that the Lord is going to cause the sun to stand still so we can go out and hunt another 4 hours. But here, there was a great need. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jesser? And I wish we had the book of Jesser so that we might read that whole story. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now then, if people are really wanting to make prayer effective, to begin with, they're going to have to live a good Christian life. They've got to walk uprightly before the Lord. And then when the time comes and the need arises, they can expect that He will be there to hear them. We know He always hears us. Sometimes we're not worthy of the blessings that we're asking. Sometimes we're not. It is not in our best interest what we're asking for. And consequently, the Lord doesn't grant us the things that we need. But I assure you, He hears everything that we say. And He grants us many blessings from day to day. Oh, let me just read that out of Moroni in the second chapter. Beginning with, I'm going to read a couple of verses there, first one and two. The words of Christ, which He spake unto the disciples, the 12 whom He had chosen, as He laid His hands upon them, and He called them the name, saying, Ye shall call on the Father in My name in mighty prayer, and after ye have done this, ye shall have power that on Him whom ye shall lay your hands, ye shall give the Holy Ghost, and in My name shall ye give it, for thus do Mine apostles. Notice there He said mighty prayer. And how many of us remember when Christ was about to be crucified and He went into the garden and prayed, and it said He sweat as though it was great drops of blood as He prayed. He asked God that if it be possible to take that cup from, or this cup from Him, but not My will, but Thy will to be done. So even though Christ had asked that this be taken from Him, realizing that God would have the final say, He said, not My will, but Thy will be done. And sometimes I think maybe we are a bit demanding and trying to force the Lord to do what we want Him to do. One of the things here, it said how to increase religious faith. And that, there is an awful lot on faith in the Bible. Of course, we turn here to Hebrews for the, I think, the one of the greatest statements, of course, in the 11th chapter. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of the most used verses by the ministry of the Church of Christ. I expect these get used about as many as any. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By having a good faith, they had a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So it doesn't say here that we've got to understand all these things that God created. They were made of things that we don't understand. They may appear one way, and it could have been entirely a different way. And I want to go down here to the 6th verse in this same chapter. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This is important. We've got to realize that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And I'm sure all of us seek the Lord, but maybe we should be a bit more diligent in searching after the important things and becoming a patient, humble, and meek people before Him. I want to read a little over in Psalms. The 33rd Psalm, I believe. And this again is just admonition given unto people to give us strength and to know what we a little bit of what we should do. We believe I'll begin with the 6th verse there. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now this is totally beyond what we could even begin to imagine. But we must believe these things because it tells us so. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as at heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouse, the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now, I think there's a lot of people stand in awe of the Lord throughout the whole world. I have no idea what percentage, because we know that many of the religions of the East and so on, they believe in God, but they don't believe in Christ. So they'd rather stand in awe of God and maybe don't realize a whole lot what they're doing. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And we can't understand those things, how the Lord done this. But we've got to believe that it was so. Whenever we go out to do anything, oftentimes we want to understand the mechanics of it. And I don't say that's too bad. But it's apparent that the way the Lord created this earth, that he made it and made it the way it is right now. We know that there's been many earthquakes and volcanoes and tempests and floods that changed the face of it. But I'm sure as we drive through Glenwood Canyon, we have got to realize that there is only two possibilities, either creation or evolution. If it was created, God done it in his time, and it was made and laid there, and we can look at it today. If it was evolution, it went on eons of time and on, which we don't believe. But we believe that God did create these things. And how he laid those rocks in there and how this was all done, I haven't the slightest idea. I still enjoy the beauty of them, but I don't understand it. I want to read a little bit out of the 2nd chapter of James here. And then beginning with the 17th verse, really this whole thing again needs to be read pretty close together. But I think that we'll get the gist of the meaning of it. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And this is another verse that we read pretty often. If we don't do anything, our faith isn't going to be much value. Yea, a man may say, thou has faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We just can't separate the two. There's no way in taking one of those from the other and having it of any value whatsoever. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And I often think of this here. This is this part of this verse tells us a whole lot. The devils also believe and tremble. Did you ever think of the devil being a little bit afraid? Pretty boisterous and goes around ripping and tearing. But how many times have you seen a big bully doing all of these things? And when somebody stood up to him, he was scared to death. And he was scared the whole time. He was bluffing all the time. Now the devil can do many things, and he causes trouble beyond end. But I think that we have to pay attention to this to realize that a person can be afraid of these things and have belief in them and still not be doing much about it. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Satan has the faith in it. He knows, but he doesn't have very much work, does he? So we have a great obligation to the people around us and to ourselves to have this faith and to have some work to go with it. In this article, it mentioned how to have a happier family through religion, and I think that is so important, to have happier families. And how many people do we know that have happy families that aren't religious? I suppose there's a few. But we know that our happiness comes not just from having children and loved ones around about us, but having the faith in God. And realizing that he can do things for us. I've often mentioned and still fear and wonder if all I had to believe in was what my own hands could do and what I could accomplish myself, I'd be scared to death. I know every one of us, as we travel on and do everything, we realize that the hand of the Lord is with us and it gives us comfort and joy. I want to read a little bit out of Proverbs here. And when anybody has a few spare minutes and don't know what to do, you can turn into Proverbs and get a little enlightenment. I'm going to turn to the 22nd Proverb. And just read one verse here. A lot of it goes good, but I think that this is very important. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Raise up a child the way they should go. Now, there's a lot of things these little children don't see and don't know. But if we teach them the things they should do and the way they should live, it will stay with them all of their lives. Sometimes they might go a bit astray, but usually they'll come back. But it is a very important job, this training up a child in the way they should go. Motherhood is probably, or undoubtedly, the most important job in the whole world. And we can see where it isn't practiced very diligently what happens. My, and if there is many places that it is not practiced, raising up children in the way they should go. There's a few of these things here I thought was rather interesting that these people brought up. Before I read a couple of those, I want to read another one out of Proverbs here in the 10th chapter. Actually, the first three verses here. The Proverbs of Solomon: a wise son maketh a glad father, and a foolish son is heaviness of his mother. I think that this goes both ways. I think that both parents are happy when their children are diligent and doing that which is right, and it's a heaviness to both of them when they do not. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now this is a very broad statement. Now we see people that have untold millions of dollars. We can read, in the past 2 or 3 years, there has been some very, very wealthy men die. Some of the people of these men obtained their wealth through quite questionable means. They seem to have gained everything in the whole world that they ever wanted, or nearly so. But it says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. What is their condition now? I'm not to judge that, but those that are unrighteous, we know what the scriptures tell. But righteousness delivereth from death. If we're a righteous person, we may die, but we can have life everlasting. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. How important that is. He didn't say we're going to be wealthy and the lap of luxury here, but he won't allow the soul to famish. That's the important thing. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. I'm going to read a few of these things. If people want to have Saul for themselves and so on. And I think this paper was in 1959, and that's been quite a while ago. That's before some of the people in this room were born. It says, how can religion eliminate worry and tension? And we could go into that by the hour of what it can do for us. What can the individual do for world peace? And you know, all of these have the same answer, don't they? Trust in the Lord and work with Him. It says here, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And I wonder how many people have thought about that. Maybe not a whole lot, but we do occasionally. How can religion curb juvenile delinquency? And I am sure that every one of us knows the answer to that again. And how can I take religion into my business life? This is a hard thing to do, too. We can only live a good life and do the best we can when the opportunity presents itself to tell them what we believe. We can't do much more than that, but I think that every time the opportunity does present itself, we should be there with an answer. Here's the one that I thought, and I wonder what the person was thinking of, how to love the unloved. What does it say? Love thy enemy. The enemy would be the unloved, wouldn't it? And as I get older, I am aware of the fact that God did not love the sins of the world. Now, He loved the people, and He was greatly distressed when they done something that was wrong. But never once did He love what they were doing. But we have got to love the people. And here is what I thought was quite impressive. Stop using God and let Him use us. A lot of people have one idea in mind, and that is to use God, but not to let Him use us. It says, how can I find peace how to find peace within ourselves? I think this is pretty important, too. We look around the world, and you know there's people that do not have any peace. We see strife and turmoil throughout the world. We find people that are themselves in a terrible state. And I'm sure that most mental illness, if they were following after the Lord, that they would have peace within themselves and these things would not come upon them. But it's a pretty hard thing to do. You can't sit around on your hands and wait for something to happen. You've got to take some action. And the other one here, and this here we know is very important, judging ourselves rather than others. A whole lot like do unto others before you do as you would have them do unto you. A lot of people are searching for questions or have questions and they want answers to them. Some of them don't know where to go to find them. Some of them, if they found the answer, wouldn't like the answer. They wouldn't like the solution that had to be used. I want to go over here and read another few verses out of Proverbs. In the 15th Proverb, and when I read these, you will find a person or two that will come to your mind, and other people won't. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Sometimes it's hard to have a soft answer when you know people are doing things that aren't right. Myself, I have a little tension if you want to bounce heads together to get the thing accomplished, and it doesn't work sometimes. Because the people that you're getting ready to bounce their heads don't care too much for it. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. How many times when you were little kids did your mother ever tell you that Jesus could see what you was doing? I'll bet you that everyone and everybody here has been told that sometime or another, that Jesus could see what we was doing. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but regardeth reproof, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of righteousness is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Some words there that pretty well tell us some things we should do and some things we should not do. And again, we haven't told you a thing this morning that each and every one here hasn't known. And most of us, from the time we were 6 or 7 years old and had some knowledge of it, probably before we were 5. Believe it or not, a lot of the stuff that we learn when we're 2, 3, 4, 5, and it sticks with us. And that's where we raise a child up in the way they should go. They won't depart from it. We won't have to have a lot of these things that's promised in the Scripture to those that are evil. They won't have to come upon us. But we know that if things do come upon us, that we have got someone that we can turn to. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, in the world that are seeking something, and they don't know just what. And it's too bad that we couldn't get some of these messages to them. And it's true that a good sermon will help us a whole lot, as it often does. But we have got to work ourselves very diligently, and if we do this, then we can expect those good things to come to us also.